If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Hello, and you're very welcome to episode 3 of How Are Things, the podcast with me, Colin Hughes. I'm recording this in the middle of a general election campaign here in Ireland, so I said I would bring in one of the candidates for a chat. So it's my great pleasure to welcome Laois Offaly, TD, Mr. Barry Cowan. You're very welcome, Barry.
Thanks, Colin. Thanks very much.
So as my podcast goes, and the first question I'll ask is, how are things?
Things are okay. Things couldn't be better.
Right.
It's this game... Our Olympics comes hopefully only every 4 or 5 years, and we're in the midst of it now, and you're in the camp in the Olympic Village, you could say, at the heart of where the campaign is at. And no more than any athlete that prepares for that, you know, you do your groundwork, you do your preparation in the years before it in the hope that you can perform well at the event, and that's where I'm at the minute.
Great, I love that analogy. It's great. And like, so I was going to ask you, do you relish that? Like, I presume
no politician relishes it.
No,
they're telling you lies if they think if they tell you that they are
right.
Elections are tough. Canvassing is tough, but if you've been doing your job and you've been applying yourself as one should, you get into the groove and you get into the zone, and hopefully you can deal with people's queries and what's thrown at you on the canvas. But It's not easy.
Oh,
of
no.
Of course it's not.
It takes you over your entire life
it's a big occasion. Every answer is vital. Not that they're all prepared or anything like it.
No.
But it comes, you know, one's personality, one's drive, one's energy, one's eagerness, one's ability to succeed, I would hope, comes to the forefront when you're answering questions and dealing with people.
Of course. And just again, on obviously you're well driven and well prepared and well experienced, of course. Was it always going to be politics for you? Obviously your dad was
no, not necessarily. If I applied myself as well as I think I'm applying myself now at school, maybe I'd be at something completely different.
Right.
But
was there anything that stood out for you?
To do?
Yeah, like a career wise.
Not necessarily, to be quite honest with you. I was a bit, you could say I was a bit lost as I grew up.
Yeah.
I was consumed by sport, by and driven in that area. My parents were very good to me and offered me every opportunity. I went to school initially in Clara, and first year in Clara, even in the vocational school there, which I enjoyed. But then I was hauled off to Roscrea,
right,
to a boarding school where my uncle was a member of the community and a priest there. And I enjoyed my time there. And as I said, you know, I made a lot of friends there. It was difficult at times as a young fella going away to live away from home, but you great friendships grew out of it. As I said, I played sport. I enjoyed it. One had to make it enjoyable, and one had to take the benefits that were there rather than dwell on the difficulties it presented.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, but no, I enjoyed it. And as I said, my parents didn't have those opportunities, and they worked hard to ensure that we had. And it made me into the man that I am, I'd say. And thereafter, I came out and I went to the RTC at the time in Athlone. And I went from there to work in a bank, kept my link and lived at home as much as I could, played football and sport and so forth. And Brian then became a minister at a young enough age for him, and twice as young for me. And the opportunity arose to take on the role of a local councillor, and I took that on. And from there, things evolve. One would never have thought that I'd end up in national politics. Events happen, rightly or wrongly, and I found myself in the position and, as I said, relished it and drove on with it and enjoy it and want to continue with it.
And here you are.
And here I am.
Brilliant. You mentioned sport there. Obviously, we're both very proud Offaly men. Mm-hmm. I can certainly remember the golden days of the 90s, very vaguely the few golden days in the 80s. Can we be saved? Is there a horizon?
I don't know. You'd like to think and hope that there is. And, you see there's still a huge commitment on the part of many volunteers across the county in our own clubs and beyond it. And they work very hard with children. But children and kids have a lot of options now growing up. And a lot of different sports that they can take on, a lot of different activities in their schools that moves them in a different direction. And that's great. And, you know, we can't expect them to be purely tunnelled, visioned and going down the road of GAA or Gaelic football or hurling, whatever it might be. So they have a very fulfilled upbringing, I think, now.
Yes, there are a lot more options out there.
A lot more options. Mm. You're involved in the arts yourself. And again, a new arts facility coming here, that'll present more opportunities for kids too. And that's great. And many kids were left behind. And many girls especially never played a lot of sport. And thankfully, that has changed.
Absolutely.
And you see, you know, GAA clubs and soccer clubs have doubled in size now because of that. And that's only right. And I was talking to somebody last night, Johnny Burns, said his daughter is doing physiotherapy at Hinkin College,
right,
playing sevens rugby for Ireland in New Zealand presently. Who would have thought the likes of that happened?
Absolutely,
20, 30
yeah.
years ago and we've those opportunities
Ailsa
now.
Ailsa Hughes and Niamh, I can't think of her second, but we've had a few
exactly
lady representatives in different sports. It's great.
It's fantastic. And you know, they're excelling in many other things other than football and hurling now than was the case when we were growing up. We were spoiled for the success that Offaly had, and it was great, and it shaped us as well. And you know, every effort has been made to relive that, and I wish everybody associated the very best of luck, including Michael Deignan and his team,
yes,
that are bringing a new impetus. Everybody involved has the best of intentions, and I'm sure everybody get behind them in the hope that they can realise their ambitions.
Of course,
it's their ambitions are our ambitions.
Yeah, absolutely, and they are great memories. Even when you even see the lads out now, Michael, as you said, and you know Joe or Johnny Dooley and the lads. Every time you see them, you
know, and there's nobody
think,
nobody more than them would love for new memories to be made. You know, I remember the '82 final again. I was in Roscrea and I was given the day off to go to the match. I got to train up with a friend of mine from Kerry, and we had a great day at the match. I was in the Nally stand looking down at the goal being scored. And I remember fighting my way to meet my parents after the match. And my father was up in the Hogan stand.
Right.
And he handed me 50 quid. And was I a happy chappy going home with that in my pocket? That was a lot of money then. I think he won a few pounds with a few of his colleagues. He backed him at 4-1 at the time.
Right.
And he was as excited as the rest of us and forgot himself and gave me 50 quid.
Happy days, happy days. Great. As well as being an Offaly man, you're a Clara man.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, family from Clara, a town that I have great ties with, and I'm back there this year with their musical society again. But a great town between yourself and obviously Brian and your dad, and we've Shane Lowry for such a small town, and the best of people.
Yeah, great little town. Hugely clannish, many people say. But, you know, it provided huge employment back in the day in the 60s. And, you know, great clubs and organisations grew out of that. And as you say, you know, the musical society, there's something for everybody over there. And they're great people to stand behind their
Super
own and
people.
Get behind their own. And irrespective of what party affiliation I would have, there would be support for me.
Yes.
From a vast amount of people in Clara. And that's hugely appreciated and respected, and I'm no different than anyone else over there. You know, I just happen to be a politician and I get supported. There's others in different walks of life get the same sort of support as I do, and you know, they're always the first to get together to help and assist people in need and hold fundraisers for them, and it's magnificent to see. And you know, they'll stand up for you no matter what.
Absolutely.
And that's greatly appreciated. And as you said, Shane Lowry has brought a whole new dimension to our success, or to the knowledge about Clara. And he's a breath of fresh air, and he comes from, you know, two well known families himself that are engrossed in the communities in Clara and Forbann respectively. and big, large families, again, didn't get it easy coming up, but were involved and engrossed in the community, and that's been repaid to them in by this bucket load now. And Shane is a fantastic personality, great way about himself, hugely popular, and never forgot his roots, never will forget his roots, won't be let forget his roots, and some great characters in amongst our family. Like, I mean, his granddad, the great Frank Scanlon.
The Scanlon's great.
You know, was a grave digger, and we were undertakers growing up, so we'd have had a lot of dealings with them. And there's a few yarns you might have heard about Frank. One of the best ones was they were digging a grave one time, himself and some of the sons, and they weren't quite sure who they had come across when they compared the gravestone and Frank's and Emmy's knowledge of the graveyard and all that was in it. And they couldn't figure out who it might be, and Frank got down into it, and I think some of the lads was looking down. Do you figure out who it is yet, or whatever? And he looked up at them and he says, I don't know. I'm not sure who he is, but I'll tell you one thing, he's a waffle set of teeth and he never hurled against Kalahi anyway. There's many stories like that.
Brilliant.
You know, are at the heart of the community, and great characters. And, you know, again, because we were reared in a pub and grew up in a pub, you came across all these fellas and great fun and great sport. And a lot of that is gone, unfortunately, with the culture, the way it has changed, and with, I won't just say drink driving laws, but, you know, people have more places to go now. They have transport, they can access a lot of things that they couldn't back then.
But, and that's even
and that's a loss, really.
It is. And that's even in a short period of time, because even myself, like even only 15 to 20 years ago over there, you know, hubs like Carey's and places like that. And there's so much that is gone.
It is gone. And like I said, people don't have jobs locally as much as they would have had then. And they have to travel to work, and they have to work long hours, and they have mortgages and they have commitments. And their kids, thankfully, have different interests, which are not cheap either.
Yes.
But that their parents are committed to allowing them those opportunities. And that's why. And then the price of drink is excessive too. And it's too bloody dear in the pub, and it's too cheap in the Tesco's and these places.
Yeah.
And if you could find a happy medium, because, you know, there's nothing better than, I would think, and my father used to say it too, that, you know, in a supervised atmosphere, people can enjoy a drink.
Absolutely.
And the youth can too. And it's a pity to think that they go behind walls to drink cheap drink elsewhere. And you have a new phenomenon now, and I've seen it in my own children too, that have a drink at home before they go out.
Absolutely.
And they're missing out, and the community is missing out, and you don't get to know your neighbours, your community, your friends, your colleagues, as well as you could.
It's an outlet. Yeah, and I always say this to people. I never take a drink at home.
Yeah, exactly.
Never. In my apartment, I've never done it. Like, for me, a drink is in the pub.
Yeah.
And you sit down and you chat people and you get to know sport.
You know, you go out socialising with somebody. I'm not saying you go out all night, but you get to know a person's traits better, their characteristics, their character, their likes and their dislikes. And you might have to deal with those people in a different atmosphere, or in work-related issues, or in political realms in the future. And it's better. How better can you deal with somebody when you know them?
Yes.
And you know how they tick, and you know what makes them tick. And only then can
and it's a comfortable atmosphere, so they're being themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, what? Like, obviously, at the moment, you probably don't have any downtime. But downtime for you, what's time off? What do you enjoy?
I enjoy the cinema up and down. I like to go to a good movie when I can. I enjoy sport and watching sport and attending sport. I keep a few greyhounds.
All right.
Regularly.
Very good.
We always did, and I enjoy that too, because, you know, rearing them, I can go out in the fields with them and go out for a walk with them, and it's a bit of downtime, as you say. And it's a bit of time on your own
as well. Needed.
And I find it very refreshing and enjoyable. And you meet some great characters in that too, and we've had an odd good one, but an awful lot more bad ones. But the trick is to know when you have when they're not fast enough,
right,
not to be making excuses for them. But again, you know, the kids enjoy that too, and it's an opportunity to spend some time with them. So that's, you know, family in politics. I mean, wives and families suffer.
Yes,
there's no point in saying they don't, and they're great people to allow you the space and time to do your job effectively. And they don't get the credit they deserve half the time. But my wife, Mary, and my family are hugely important to me, but very respectful of the job that I have, and very appreciative of what's required to do it effectively. And, you know, they blow the lid now and again, but that's only to be expected.
Ah, yeah, but it's incredibly important to have that support.
Yeah, it is, it is. Because you couldn't do the job otherwise.
No.
You could not do the job otherwise. And I, like you say, I like to go out for a drink now and again whenever I can.
Yeah.
To meet and greet and enjoy different people's company, yeah.
Great. You mentioned cinema there. So one thing that I do talk to people about on the podcast is like TV and maybe like, so you go to the cinema. Do you watch stuff at home? Do you watch like say TV series or box sets or anything like that? What would be your main interests there?
Yeah, like at Christmas, for example.
Right.
You'd binge on different programmes.
Yeah.
What do you call the one set in Birmingham in the 20s?
The Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders. I had seen that initially, I think, on BBC, and it didn't appeal to me.
Okay.
And I heard so much about it. I think it was Christmas before last, I sat down and I said, right, I'll watch one, and I got into it, and I was a week watching it, catching Excellent. Up on four or five episodes. And I loved it. And Narcos, that type of thing, you know.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Apps, Narcos is fantastic.
Yeah. Now, I know there's been a few further ones that don't appeal to me too much, but the initial one was good.
Yeah.
You know, I like all the Godfather type films.
Great.
You know, sat down and watched The Irishman recently.
Yeah, I actually haven't got around to it yet. I haven't found the 3 hours. I don't know. I don't know how you have.
It's the same thing. And that one, what is it, 1917, the war?
Yes,
one,
I haven't. That's
one.
In the cinema Not at the moment. Yeah. Did you get to it?
Didn't get to it.
Right.
Yet.
Okay.
Hopefully, I will. That type of film appeals to me. Those based on factual events, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, the odd comedy. As regards TV, you know, Fools and Horses, I'd watch that.
Brilliant. classic comedy.
Yeah. All those old ones. What do you call them? John Cleese, that type of thing.
Yeah. Monty Python?
No. Not exactly. Okay. No. That's not everybody's cup of tea.
Grand. Just bringing it up, obviously. Terry Jones died in the last couple of days.
Yeah, I was looking at bright
side. And I'm a huge fan of it. But it is an acquired taste.
Yeah.
Definitely. But John Cleese is obviously Fawlty Towers and stuff like that. You know, his own stuff, it's incredible.
That's spectacular. To be fair to the Brits, they do comedy well.
So well.
You know, you can't.
And all that old comedy, like I find myself going back watching it on Gold, you know, like Morecambe and Wise, things like that. Like, that's classic. That'll never, ever die. That's
and
such good comedy.
One of my favourites of all time, I came across it and I was in America for summers. Working and so forth was The Honeymooners and Jackie Gleason and Art Carney.
Yeah.
That is spectacular altogether.
Absolutely.
And even if I get a box set of those episodes, they're all black and white, made in the 40s and 50s, I think.
Yeah.
To the 60s at the latest. And they, again, it's classic
comedy. Oh, absolutely. But as you said, the Brits really do.
But the Brits do it well.
The Ronnies, them, yeah. Dudley Moore, people like that. Oh, incredible stuff. Incredible stuff. I was talking to George McMahon on the last one about social media. Now, obviously, as in your game, you know, things have changed so unbelievably in a short period of time that, you know, been on the canvas maybe 10 years ago, it wouldn't matter what someone wrote in a bedroom in Mayo, do you know what I mean? And now it can cause absolute and utter consternation. It's tough.
People have lost their jobs over.
Absolutely.
Tweets they've made or comments that they've signed themselves to. And, you know, you see, even in this election, there's a lot of towns and villages and tidy towns, you know, not allowing postering. And I'd say come the next election or definitely the one after, there'll be no posters.
No.
We still have a strong enough organisation, thankfully, whom are willing to help and assist and get to the doors and get to talk to people, because there's nothing like face-to-face contact.
Of course.
To try and win yourself over to the public. But social media is a new phenomenon. It's one that has to be embraced rather than rejected, I think. There's a happy medium as to how you deal with it. I use it as a communication method and a tool. Sometimes I get directly engaged, but there's a lot of loopers on it too.
It's nuts. And again, anyone that posts, and obviously you're in the public eye, and I was saying, like, people like, you know, Gary Lineker or people like these, like, and they just make a comment, and the abuse, and I'm sure much more for you.
Yeah,
if you,
well,
make
you
a comment,
just have to turn yourself off to it too, you know.
Is that easy though? I mean,
it's not easy, and you have to bite your lip,
of course,
and just walk away from it, because you never get off it then if you start that.
You're
I'm
down
sure
a
you,
rabbit
you have
hole
enough to be doing, but you know, a gentle view of it, update of it, response to it. And get out of it.
Yeah.
And go back to it.
Absolutely.
Maybe twice a day or whatever. And, you know, the office helps with it too. But, you know, a lot of people treat it the way it should be. And you have to respect that and appreciate that. and work with it.
Yes.
And it is and can be of great benefit and help and assistance, and use it that way rather than as a mechanism for, as I said, there's loopers in every walk of life, and there's a few loopers in that too. And
yeah.
You just have to be able to recognise
them. As you
and
say,
walk
it can be
it.
As helpful or as dangerous as you make it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you can get to people that you might otherwise not have got to. And for many young kids growing up, they know no different.
Yeah.
And you have to respect that too and go with it. Even, you know, and it's unfortunate to see local papers not in as many households as once used to be the case too. And they're great employment, they're great community activism within them. And they can be a loss. And I would hope people would not forget their local papers and work with them and assist them and help them and buy them and ensure that continues.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I'm sure after this campaign you're going to need a holiday. What's your favourite kind of holidays, breaks? Do you like to get away often? Or can you get away often, I suppose?
I'd like to get away often, but I don't get away often. You know, no different than any other family with children or college-going kids. Your emphasis and your priorities are there.
Mm-hmm.
And insofar as you can, you ensure that they get all they need to succeed. And thereafter, if one is lucky enough to be able to afford it, then of course, you'd like a bit of sun now and again. If we could get more of it here, you would never leave the country.
That's true.
But
that's
no, we've holidayed in almost every county in the country, I'm
right.
sure, or at different times for different periods of time. And I enjoyed old coastal fishing towns of Ireland, whether they're in Kerry or Cork or in the west of Ireland or any part of it. I enjoy Ireland, so.
Yeah, great.
And the language is the same and the food is the same.
It's what you're familiar with. I'm a fan of
that
myself.
The crack is the same, yeah, exactly. But downtime, a lot of it is spent at home too, so.
Yes.
Because, you know, you don't be home much, so you like to give as much as you can. Play a bit of golf out in Eskers there. Haven't done much since Brian took ill and my mother took ill shortly after. But, you know, you'd like to get back to that again. You usually do it early of a Sunday morning so you don't give away the whole day at home.
Yeah.
If you go at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, you're home by 11 o'clock and people don't think, you know, the household
gets
your full attention.
Yeah. I've no pay. Golf seems like a great idea to me, but I don't have the patience for it. Because if I'm not doing what I see on the telly from the start, I'm out.
I was the same one time too when I used to have the hurling grip and I was ignorant and take them, wouldn't change and turn. And I persisted eventually, and it makes a big difference to do it. But I enjoy it. And if you get good company playing golf
Absolutely.
And have good fun and you don't take it too serious, you'll enjoy it. But if you take it too serious and you think too much of what you see on TV, that's the day you get frustrated.
And that's where I'll fall. And maybe someday I'll look at it and see. Right, I'm going to wrap things up. I have a quiz that I do. Right, on each of my
quick
podcasts.
Quick fire, I suppose. Yeah.
Quick fire. It's based on where in the world, right? But it's called what in the world. So there are your sections. You can pick any one at random. So you just say like Europe 6 or Europe 13 or whatever you want. You pick one. Now, these questions can be real questions or they can be just so stupid they make no sense at all, right? So when you're ready.
Europe
6. In what country would you find Bratislava?
Yugoslavia, is it?
Maybe. Yeah, go on. Next
Czech
one.
Czech Republic.
Yeah, pick the next one.
Europe 12.
Europe 12. Name one Spanish food.
Paella.
Yeah.
Europe 18.
Europe 18. What is Boris Johnson's partner's name?
I have no clue.
Grant, keep going. Next one.
America 20.
America 20. What is the state? What state is known as the Sunflower State?
The Sunflower State. I just said the Sunflower is not Florida. I don't know. It's one of the central ones, I presume.
Yeah, it's Kansas. Pick one more. Another couple.
Africa 11.
Africa 11. What African country does Sadio Mane play for?
Mane from Liverpool.
Yeah.
Ivory Coast.
Pick another one.
Australia 5.
Australia 5 is. What's a baby kangaroo called?
Baby kangaroo.
Well, I can't go against you on it. Brilliant.
It's a cub.
Brilliant. Right, last one. One more.
America 3.
America 3, last one. Name four American states.
Illinois, New York, Florida, and Texas.
Great.
Suits you, Barry. Very good.
They weren't too bad. Listen, Barry, thanks so much for agreeing to come on here on my podcast. All the best wishes to Brian and, of course, your own family, and the very, very best of luck in your upcoming election.
Cheers, Colin. Good man. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Did you know that over 80% of companies in America, each generating more than $100 million in revenue, don't show up on public stock exchanges? They're private and are largely not an option for 401k investors. But now there's a chance for everyday American savers to opt in for access through the 401k plan if they choose to. Regardless of how you're building for the future, you deserve the same opportunities because you've earned the right to more. Learn more by visiting retiresafer.org. Paid for by the Council for a Safe and Secure Retirement.